Let's read verse 6 down through the end of the chapter. Paul writing to young Pastor Timothy, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." And right there in the middle of verse 6 is our theme that we started last week, a good minister, a good minister. Verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's pray again. Father, help us, Lord God, as we seek to find some tidbits here in your word, here in Timothy. Lord, help us, Father, that we might come to a better understanding of your word and what it says about these matters and about the good minister. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Paul writes to Timothy and tells him how to be a good minister. And the first thing that he says, well, before I do that, we talked last week about any odd expectations you've ever heard of for a preacher, a minister. Think of anything more. Maybe your mind was turning since we left off with that last week, and your mind's been churning since then, and you thought of some more. Is there anything beyond what we talked about last week? Anybody wants to add to that? Maybe something that a church or people or members of a church expect a qualification or a responsibility of their pastor that really doesn't line up with the Bible, but it's been expected, it's been heard. Anybody? Okay, we're all pleading the fifth on that. Okay, first thing we noticed, the good minister, he knows what to preach and teach. In verse 6, he says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister." He has a focus. He has a continual focus on core Christian doctrines, on basic principles of Christian living, even to the point of repetition. Put them in remembrance. We saw that last week. We saw Peter said, "I will not be negligent to that you have these things always in remembrance. Though you already know them, I'm going to tell it to you again." 90% probably of preaching, at least 80% of preaching, is reminding people of stuff they already know. Stirring them up, stirring it up, bringing it back to the surface of their knowledge so that they can act on it. We have a tendency to backslide. We have a tendency to conquer spiritual territory and then give it up again. And we need to hear, go back in and possess the land. Even to the point of repetition, he knows what to preach and teach. You can't come to church always expecting to hear something new that's like the one that wants to hear something that's going to tickle their ears. It's why don't you let the preacher stir up what you already know? He knows what to preach and teach. He also, look at verse 6 again. Nourished up, middle of the verse, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. He preaches and teaches, he explains and he applies what he's already learned, what's helped him in his life. That's why he's to be an example. That's an example that can be followed. He's studied the Word of God, the good minister has, and he's put it into practice in his life. And by the way, it works. It works. And so as he found out what works for him, that's what he applies and that's what he explains to you. He knows what not to preach and teach, verse 7, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. Refuse profane. He's not concerned about preaching and teaching pop psychology and wisdom of men, a philosophy of men. He's not delving off into extra-biblical matters. He's going to preach the Word. That's what Paul tells Timothy over in 2 Timothy. It's the Scriptures that are sufficient for our needs as Christians. It's the Scriptures that that have all things pertaining to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1. It's the Scriptures that are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for exhortation. It's the Scriptures that are profitable to teach us, make us thoroughly perfect unto all good works. That's why the preacher has to preach the Scriptures, not delve off into all these other crazy things and not come up with new doctrine all the time, finding stuff in the Bible that nobody else has ever seen before. There's these preachers that do that. Here's something that every Bible scholar ever in history has missed, and I have found it, and I'm going to give it to you. That's nonsense. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. He knows whom he must please. It says he's a good minister of Jesus Christ. The good minister is not interesting in being a people pleaser. If he pleases Jesus Christ and your heart is in tune with Jesus Christ, then it will please you as well. But he's not interested in catering to you, to your preferences, kowtowing to your ideas of the way things ought to go. And you might have some valid ideas that can be taken into consideration, but at the end of the day, he knows whom he must please, Jesus Christ. And the pastor who tries to please people and the people who expect it will all be frustrated together. And by the way, that'll be a sorry lot, and they deserve each other. He knows both the limits and the extent of his authority. He can command. Look at verse 11. These things command and teach. The pastor in a church has authority. He can command. But notice what he can command. These things. There's a limit to what he can command. There's a limit. There's an extent of his authority. And that's as far as we got last week. That was all review. That only took us 6 minutes to review. I thought it'd take longer than that, but that's okay. Any comments before we push forward? Anything that jumps out at you? Any questions you have about the good minister so far? Quiet bunch this morning. It's okay. The pastor's not here, so you can. Anything? All right, well, let's go on now. This is all new, not new teaching, but just new in Sunday school here. How about this? He knows that his own spiritual growth is important enough to work at. Look again at verses 6 through 8. In the middle of verse 6, he says that good minister, Timothy, is nourished up in the words of faith. He doesn't just nourish you. He gets nourished as he studies the Word of God, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The good minister himself has to be in a right doctrinal position. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and watch this now, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Notice that the good minister, he's not only interested in your growth as a Christian. No, that is his interest. Believe me, that is his interest. Nothing pleases a preacher more than to see the people that he has ministered to growing in the faith. In fact, let me show you that. Hold your place here and go to 2 John. Maybe it's 3 John. We'll find it. Yeah, it's in both, in 2 John and 3 John. Look at 2 John and verse 4. Here's the elder John, the preacher. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Look at 3 John, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, he means his spiritual children, those he's ministered to, walk in truth. That makes the preacher happy to see the people that he has ministered to walking in truth, growing in Christ, making great leaps forward. But he's also got to be concerned about his own growth. He cannot neglect his own spiritual growth to see you grow and minister to you. He's got to be concerned about his own growth. By the way, always remember that preachers are growing in Christ just like other Christians. That means that the preacher, let me just ask you what that means. How should that affect our view of preachers? If we remember, hey, he's growing just like everybody else is growing, how does that affect our view, Brother Adam?
Well, that answers the question you asked earlier. What are some unreasonable expectations church members have on preachers and pastors at times? Well, sometimes we expect that they already got it all together, that they're done growing, that they're there, when they got growth to happen yet still.
What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 3? Neither have I already attained, either were already perfect, but this one thing I do. I press toward the mark. Miss Gill.
When we strive to know the Word of God better, when we strive to understand it more, it gives our pastor the incentive to stay ahead of us and to continue to work harder to be there to be able to help us grow around.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's kind of like it's. You said stay ahead of us. When parents say they can't homeschool, the encouragement to them is you only have to be one lesson ahead of the kid. Okay, what else? How the preacher is always growing too. How does that affect our view of them? How should it affect our view of them? Yes, ma'am. Amen. I got a good application of it. Here comes a situation in a church. Something happens, whether it's maybe it's a matter of policy, maybe it's a matter of church discipline, maybe it's a matter of how to handle something, whatever. And the pastor handles it a certain way. Sometime later, a very similar situation comes along, and the pastor handles it a different way. Some people get uptight about that. I don't get uptight. Hey. Maybe he learned something the first time around, you know? Maybe he's grown in his understanding of how to do, you know? Brother Adam.
He's probably going to be privy to some details that aren't common knowledge for everybody else.
Right.
Require that it be handled differently anyway.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the way we can grow up, you know?
That's a very good point. And did you hear what he said? Sometimes that's how a church gets so shallow, the membership is a shallow Christianity because the preacher isn't growing. Sometimes a church has a spirit of deadness about it because the preacher, Lee Robertson, famous preacher, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of him, but he said this, everything rises or falls on leadership. The preacher has to be growing for the people to be growing. Anything else on that? How does that affect our view? Understand that his growth is important to him and has to be important to him. How does that affect our view? I'll give you another one. That means that a church should be very, and this church is, a church should be very gracious toward the pastor for his time to grow. For his time, you know, he's taken a weekend away. That's for him as much as it is for us. It's more for him. A church needs to be very gracious and understanding that a pastor needs time to focus on his own growth. Look at verse 10. Here's another thing the good minister knows. For therefore, we both, Paul's including himself and Timothy, or either the both refers to these two things, labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Labor, and that word refers to hard work. Does a preacher work hard? He's supposed to work hard, maybe not necessarily with his hands, but with his mind, with his feet, with his mouth. He works hard, and he suffers reproach. He knows that he will face difficulties. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Told the preacher, you're going to endure hardness. You need to endure hardness and come through it with a testimony. Come through it, approach things biblically and come through it with a testimony. Endure hardness. He knows he will face difficulties. It's not really that easy of a job. I remember little Joe Curran one time, he was talking to Pastor Mast, and he was about 10, and he said, so let me get this straight. You get paid just to talk? Well, it's not that simple. There's a lot more involved than that. And there are difficulties. Turn over to, hold your place here and turn over to your left to Colossians chapter 2. Here's the pastor's heart, and this was explained to me before I was in the ministry, and I did not understand it. And then since I've been in the ministry, I've tried to explain it to others, and I just don't think that you can understand it until you're in that position. Chapter 2, Colossians verse 1. Paul writing to these Christians that he has a strong interest in. He says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. That word conflict refers to his conflict of heart. The translators, let me find it here. The translators said care, how much he cares. It's a conflict of heart. It's an inner turmoil that the pastor has for the people that he's charged with. Think of it like this way. You know people, either you have adult children or you know people with adult children. Think of parents with adult children. And they love their adult children. Sam and Kenzie, your parents love you. And they're probably wiser than you. And so they see some things that you do, they wouldn't do that way. And when they see you going astray, I don't want to pick on Sam and Kenzie. When they see Adam going astray, no. Yeah. Just think of the turmoil that a parent has to see their adult children. They can influence them. They can talk to them. But they can't grab them by the hair and say, no, you know, that time is over. They can't do that anymore. They can't grab, what's that? Oh, yeah. Can't grab them by the scruff of the neck and say, don't do this, do that instead. They can coach them and talk to them and counsel them. But at the end of the day, that person is free to make their own decisions. And if they make wrong decisions, if they make decisions that aren't in their best interest, think of the turmoil that the parent has in their heart for them. Now, I'm talking about a parent with an adult child. Imagine that parent has 60 of those. Now you know what Paul's talking about when he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you." It is a difficult job. It is a difficult job. And the pastor, the good minister, knows he'll face those difficulties. Go back to 1 Timothy and look in chapter 4, verse 14 now. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. At the time of conversion, just a little bit of doctrine here. When you trust Christ as Savior, at that moment the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in you. And at that moment, sovereignly chosen by Jesus Christ, there are one or more spiritual gifts that you receive. And we see lists of those gifts in the Corinthian epistles and elsewhere. One or more spiritual gifts that you receive at the time that you trust Christ as Savior. Now, does God know who He's going to eventually call to the ministry? Guess what? At the time they trust Christ as Savior, He gives them that spiritual gift that they're going to use in the ministry. A good minister will not neglect those gifts. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Neglect not. He knows how to use His spiritual gifts. If His gift is, by the way, some pastors are better teachers than they are preachers. If you think of the difference between teaching and preaching. Some pastors are better overseers than they are preachers. Some pastors are better preachers and not as good as an overseer that they might be. They have spiritual gifts. They're not to neglect them. A good minister knows how to use his spiritual gifts. Let's look at some other scriptures on this same point. Go over back over to Colossians chapter 4. Yay, grandma's here. Colossians 4, look at verse 17, down near the end of the chapter, near the end of the book. And say to Archippus, or Archippus perhaps, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Archippus was a pastor in the area around Colossae. Might have been the pastor of the church at Colossae, might have been the pastor of the church at Laodicea, but he was a pastor in the area, and Paul says, say to him, here's the message to this pastor, take heed to the ministry thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Fulfill it. Fill it to the full, if you will. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. By the way, Timothy was not an evangelist, he was a pastor. But Paul tells him, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Now watch this last phrase. Make full proof of thy ministry. Full proof of thy ministry. Here's what I think of when I see that word, full proof. In gunsmithing, in gun design, let's take a black powder gun. They proof the rifle barrel. If the rifle is designed to shoot with 50 grains of black powder, you know what they do before it ever goes on sale? They take that barrel, they load it up with 100 grains of black powder, they put it in a safe place, and they set it off. And then they look, it didn't crack, it didn't bulge, it didn't bust. If it can do that with 100 grains of black powder, then it can do that with 50 grains of black powder all day, every day. for the rest of eternity. Well, not eternity, but for a long, long time. Make full proof of thy ministry. That what does that black powder do? It's the pressure that builds inside that bore. Timothy, you have a ministry. There's pressure on the ministry. There's a lot of hard labor that goes into the ministry. There's a lot of do the work of an evangelist. There's a lot of door knocking. There's a lot of getting doors slammed in your face. Timothy, you have a ministry. Make full proof of your ministry. That's why Paul writes that those that do so are to be counted worthy of a what? Double honor. He knows how to use the spiritual gifts. He's not going to neglect. A good minister does not neglect his spiritual gifts. Along the same lines, back in 1 Timothy chapter 4 again, along the same lines, look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly, holy with a W, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Here's what I said here. He puts himself wholly into the ministry. A good minister gives himself completely to the ministry. And that's what the apostle said over in Acts chapter 6. Turn there with me for just a second, Acts chapter 6. Verse 4, the apostle said, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's the apostles. What does that mean? What does it mean to give yourself to it? What does that mean? They will give themselves. What does that mean? Mrs. Tiggis.
Dedicate.
I'm going to consecrate myself. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Separated unto the gospel. What else? What's that mean? We will give ourselves. Part of what it means is the next word, continually. Continually. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. The good minister gives himself wholly to the ministry. It's, by the way, it's worth giving himself to. It's worth it. It's a good thing. Some people give themselves to the bottle. Some people give themselves to gambling. Some people give themselves to entertainment. Some people give themselves to time wasting. Some people give themselves to laziness in the bed. Here's a good thing. There's a family that's spoken of in the scripture that addicted themselves to the ministry. Addicted themselves to the ministry. Here's the last point here today. Back to 1 Timothy 4. Take heed, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed unto thyself. Pastor Timothy, take heed unto thyself. The good minister, he keeps a watch over his own behavior. He keeps a watch over his own behavior. He's careful. He sets standards. He sets limits. He sets boundaries he will not cross. I will not be alone with a woman that's not my wife. I will not do this. I will not do that. Whatever. He sets boundaries that he's not going to cross in order to take heed to himself. Whosoever thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Over in Acts chapter 20, Paul. This is Paul again. And Timothy was in this crowd when Paul said this in Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Who's he talking to? Remember the story in Acts chapter 20? Who's Paul talking to? The pastors in the churches around Ephesus. He called for the elders of Ephesus. He's talking to these preachers. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. There's a lot in that verse, but notice, so the preacher doesn't just take heed to the flock. We know he has to take heed to the flock. But just as importantly, he says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock. He keeps a watch over his own behavior. Because why did Paul say this in Ephesus? Look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. A little bit of power and respect given to the wrong person can corrupt that person if they don't take heed to their self. So he takes heed. He sets a watch over his own behavior. The good minister. That's your little tidbit from Timothy this week. Any questions or comments? We got just a couple of minutes for some discussion. Anything you want to bring up? Miss Luella. Uh-huh. Got to start somewhere, right? Yeah.
We should encourage him.
Right. Amen. Got to start somewhere. Anybody else have something? Go on once. Once is all you get. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank